I want you to know that I have good news. Good news for you. And my good news for you is something that I trust that you know and think about regularly. Jesus Christ is alive. And I celebrate that as I stand before you right this moment. And added to that, with our thoughts together this morning, the good news extends because since he is alive, then I am pleased to share the good news with you that he surely says to us that he will be with us always. Amen? Yes. And we're going to reflect on that. And we have since Resurrection Day. And we're continuing to celebrate the fact that we know, we believe, but we know that he is alive because of eyewitness accounts. You remember that phrase we've used several times? And I love that. And the more I think about that, the more I'm thankful for it. Because we have eyewitness accounts from people of integrity, I do believe totally. But also, further than that, we have eyewitness accounts from the Holy Spirit. You ever thought about that? Because all that we talk about in him being alive is in Scripture. So who wrote Scripture? Who inspired the writing of Scripture? The Holy Spirit. And so this is his story. And I am thrilled about that. This past Sunday, I was privileged to attend a church in Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania, with my granddaughter and my wife, one of my granddaughters. And she is struggling, and I was pleased to stand beside her and comfort her in the midst of a beautiful worship service. And the pastor was preaching on the complete story of Almighty God through Jesus Christ. Now, he covered the whole Old Testament in 35 minutes. And he said, we're flying at 30,000 feet. He said, you just got to hang on. Put your seatbelt on. But it's a beautiful, powerful church there in that town. They only have about 3,000 people that come there. But it was a joyful experience. And so the story, this is his story. And I will even say to you that just about 3 weeks ago, from a young man who is a regular visitor here with his family, he said something to me just real briefly after the service that day. He said that he really appreciates that I keep the story going. Now, that's a blessing to me that I have the privilege of telling you and telling others and telling myself about the story, and I am able to keep it going because it is such a powerful story. So today, the story is indicating that we have good news, and the good news is that he is alive, and that because he's alive, he has promised us, surely I will be with you always, he says. And I want to remind you once again about some of these eyewitnesses on which we depend as we think about this. Because please remember at the tomb, Mary Magdalene, and she saw Jesus, and Jesus spoke to her. And then after that, we're told in Scripture that he encountered a group of women, Mary and some others, on the road in between Jerusalem and the tomb. And they worshiped him, and they saw the living Lord right there before them. And then we talked very specifically a few weeks ago about Cleopas and his wife Mary on the road to Emmaus. They were going home on Resurrection Day. And do you remember that Jesus joined them on this journey? And Jesus spent several hours with them. And what did Jesus do? He went back and covered much of the Old Testament in reference to himself, teaching Cleopas and Mary about his being and about his reality. And these are eyewitnesses. And then what did Cleopas and Mary do? They got home, but they turned around and went back to Jerusalem. Why? Because they knew that their people, the disciples of Jesus Christ, were back in Jerusalem, and Cleopas and Mary wanted to go back and spend time with them. And they went back, and they were telling the stories of Resurrection Day. They were telling about Jesus being alive. They were telling about hearing about it and seeing him. And then all of a sudden, and this is amazing and wonderful, in the room with them, the doors locked and barred, and out of fear for what might be happening to the disciples, there stood Jesus Christ among them. And with those disciples, he looked at them and he said, I want to breathe on you and breathe on you the Holy Spirit. And these people, these disciples, these followers are part of our eyewitness account. And then this fellow Thomas, doubting Thomas, but I hate to throw rocks at him because we all struggle with that. He said, I won't believe until I see Jesus and I see the handprints in his hands and the spear wound in his side. And scripture tells us that 1 week later, Thomas and some of the other disciples are in the room where they've been staying. And there again, Jesus appears and he encounters Thomas and he shows him his hands. Remember, this is not just historical facts. This is for you and me to understand that this is part of the good news, that Jesus Christ is alive and that he wants to be with us, you and you and you and you and our church and your families. And with Thomas, he wanted to be with Thomas. He didn't want Thomas to live in a doubting experience. And he showed him his hands and his side. And Thomas fell on his knees and praised and said, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said, Thomas, it's good that you've believed when you see me. But how great it is for those that believe when they don't see me. And that is applicable to you and me. And then part of the eyewitness account, we have Peter and some of these fellows that decide that they want to go fishing. And so now here are some of the disciples that are out by the lakeside, and they are fishing all night long, and they've caught nothing, and they see the man standing on the shore, and they're not sure who it is, but the man says, throw your net over on the other side, and you will catch fish. Sounds like a Jesus statement. And they do so, and they catch a whole net full. And then somebody says, that's Jesus Christ. And so they rush toward the shore. Peter in the water and the other fellows in the boat. And Jesus is on the shore fixing breakfast for them, fish and bread on the open fire. Just a beautiful family intimate scene of Jesus saying, I'm alive and I'm with you. And that's what he continues to say. Scripture then tells us in the first chapter of Acts that Jesus appeared to his followers over a period of 40 days. So this just didn't happen for a day or two. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days, showing absolute proof. Now that's a key phrase from Scripture. Showing absolute proof that he was alive. And what was he talking to them about? Scripture says he was talking to them over and over and over about the kingdom of God. That's what you and I are a part of, sitting here this morning on a Sunday to worship and to remember. And Jesus talked to his people, and he still talks to you and me about the kingdom of God. And it was somewhere in this whole process where Jesus spoke to them about something that we call the Great Commission. And I want to remind you, and we'll say more about it in a little bit, but I'll remind you of what Jesus said at the end of his Great Commission, commissioning, giving his people their marching orders, if you would. And as he finished that powerful statement that we'll look at a little bit later, he said, and surely I am with you always. Now, these are things, and more of what we will say, these are things that Jesus said. And I will ask you the ridiculous question, is Jesus a liar? And the answer absolutely 100% is no, he is not. And so when we talk about what Jesus said and what the Holy Spirit led and all these other people in their eyewitness account of his life after his death and resurrection, it is not a lie. It is the absolute truth by which we live. And part of what I'm saying to you today is that for your encouragement and for my encouragement, the good news is that he is alive and he does continually and he has always and he is now and he will always say, surely I am with you always. Now I want to go back and even go back into the Old Testament, because this didn't just start at resurrection. You remember several months ago now, I shared with you that we knew Jesus before Christmas. Do you remember that phrase? And how did we know Jesus before Christmas? Because we go back into the Old Testament and we see him saying even there that he is there, he is alive, he is powerful. We see foreshadowings, or we see him in a pre-incarnate situation. The big word that we use then, and it is applicable, these are called Christophanies. These are appearances of Jesus in the Old Testament before he was incarnate as the baby Jesus, born into this world. And some of those that we remember, God told Abraham to take Isaac, his son, to the mountaintop and to sacrifice him on the altar. Abraham obeyed, and God provided the sacrifice. Did not have to kill his son, thank the Lord. But that was a foreshadowing of Jesus Christ coming into the world. Joshua, they had just gone into the promised land. They had just crossed the River Jordan. And now the promised land was there for the taking, but they still had to take it. Joshua and the whole book of Joshua is the story of God's people receiving and taking the promised land. And what happened to Joshua? He's walking down the road and he encounters somebody standing before him, and this somebody has a sword and he is a warrior. And the person claims and says that he is the commander of the Lord's army. Well, all of us that think about it know, believe that that encounter was Joshua encountering the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ. And what about in Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? These three godly young men that were commanded to worship Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, the pagan king. And what would these three young men do? They would not worship. And so what was their punishment? They were thrown into the fiery furnace, a furnace that was so hot that burned the people on the outside. But these three godly, obedient men were thrown into the fiery furnace. And as they were in the fiery furnace, Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, looked in and he saw four. Now remember, Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego were three. He saw four. And Nebuchadnezzar said to his helpers, to his wise men, how many people did we throw in the furnace? And they said three. And he said, I see four. Well, who is the fourth one? It's another statement, another appearance of Jesus Christ before Christmas. And so even then, Jesus Christ is proving and saying that he is there and he is powerful and that he will be with you. By the way, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fiery furnace and their eyebrows were not even singed. Their clothes were in complete order. No burns whatsoever. Now, we move on to the New Testament. And we'll just say that the New Testament really began with the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And it, for all intents and purposes, it began with the birth of Jesus Christ. And what happened prior to the birth of Jesus Christ? The angel came to this young lady, Mary, and indicated that she had found favor with Almighty God, and that she was going to give birth to a son, and he would be Jesus. And the angel said that he will be the king of Jacob's house, and he will rule and reign forever. Now, what does that say? That Jesus Christ is going to be alive, and he's going to be king, and he's going to be reigning and ruling, and he is going to be with his people forever. Now, I don't know what forever means, folks, but it's a long, long, long time. And I'm very thankful that I'm going to be part of the journey and that you're going to be part of the journey through your belief in Jesus Christ. And then we know that Jesus grew up into the man 30 years later after his birth, and he began to minister and take care of people and heal people and lead people and call disciples, and he was able to show himself over and over and over and over. And we're moving toward those end times when he was saying to his disciples that he had to go and he had to be crucified, but that he was going to live again. But please remember that Jesus, the night before he was crucified, had all of his disciples sitting around, and he said, "You've trusted in God, trust also in me. I've got to go. I've got to go away. But please know that I am going to prepare a place for you so that you and I can be together." There it is again. "Surely I am always with you. And if I go away and prepare this place for you, I'm going to come back and I'm going to come get you." Now, I pray that every person in this room is going to be a part of that group that is gotten, that Jesus is going to come back to get us, to be with whatever his kingdom is going to be in the future, in the time that is before us. But also that same in chapter 14 of the book of John, after he said, "I'm going to go away and prepare a place for you," he says to his disciples, they were just realizing that Jesus was about to go to the cross the next day. He had said it, but they were still not digesting that. And then he says this, he said, "I'm not going to leave you as orphans." Now I want you to think about that. I don't know how it feels to be an orphan. I had wonderful parents. I have family. You have family. Some of you may know more. I have three granddaughters that we spent time with last week that were orphans. Their parents were dismissed because of bad behavior. And fortunately, my daughter and son-in-law and my family adopted these three beautiful young ladies, and they became no longer orphans. Well, Jesus said to his people, "I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I am going to come to you." He said, "The world will not see me anymore, but you will see me." Now that's in the 14th chapter of John. I'm not sure exactly what that meant, except that they were going to see him, and you and I are going to see him, and we can see him with our spiritual eyes. But that takes communion and prayer and time with him. He does not want us to be orphans. He wants to be with us because he is alive and he says always, "Surely I am with you always." And then he says to these folks, still in the 14th chapter of John, he says, "If you love me and will obey my teaching," now listen to this next phrase, "If you love me and you obey my teachings, I will come to you and make my home with you. Do you hear what that says? He wants so much for you to know and me to know that if we just live with him and follow him, that he will make his home with us. He lives in our hearts and in our spirits because he wants to be with us always. The 15th chapter of John says the whole thing about I'm the vine and you're the branches, and that you have to be in me and abide in me and I abide in you. Basically, it's saying, Jesus is saying, if you remain in me, I will remain in you. There it is again. What is he saying? Surely I will be with you always. Now I want these things to sink in for you and me, because this is good news. This is what Jesus Christ is saying. Now then, he comes to this point where he looks at his disciples in these, just before he's about to leave, after he's resurrected. He's walked with them for 40 days. He's been with them. He's talked about the kingdom of God. And he says to them, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teach them all that I have shared with you, and then surely I will be with you always. Now, my question to you and me, do we believe that? Do we know that these are true statements from Jesus Christ? And I trust that you do. They are scripture. They are specifically what he said to us in his last days on the earth and in his 40 days that he walked with his people and talked to his people and talks to you and me about the kingdom of God. And he says, therefore, we must go and make disciples of all nature and baptize and teach. And those are commands, folks. And then to finish our thoughts today, I want to read the last statements from the book of Acts, the first chapter. Because this is what Jesus says, and this is what the result is. He has been on this earth for 33 years. He has been walking about after his resurrection for 40 days, talking about the kingdom of God. And then he says, do not leave Jerusalem. He's speaking to his disciples. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father has promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes in you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. He is saying still, go and make disciples and baptize and teach and be my witnesses. Now, is he saying that just 2,000 years ago, or is he saying that right now? He's saying that right now. He's saying that to you and me. And then it says right here in the first chapter of Acts, after he had said this, after he had said that we are to be his witnesses, and after he had said that we're to go and baptize and teach and make disciples, it says that after he had said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from sight. This is called the ascension. Now, Jesus Christ is right there, and he physically, I wish I could have seen it. I really, truly wish I could have seen it. But he is ascending into the clouds, and it is hiding him from their sight. And it says they were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside him. And they said, "Why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way that he has gone to heaven. He will come back from heaven, and he will come back to be with you." Now, my question to me and to you is, do we know this as absolute fact? He is coming back. Now, this is all good news, folks. And you and I have the privilege, through Scripture, of being able to look back on all of this powerful story. Please don't miss it. Please don't just make it a churchy experience. Now, I love this church. I love the church. I love the church of Jesus Christ that he established and continues to establish. But it's so much more than just an organization. It is a relationship with Almighty God through Jesus Christ and all of his forgiveness and love and freedom that he gives to you and me. Please do not miss it. Let's pray.